Monday is the autumnal equinox, and this is also Celebrate the Night Sky Week, the perfect time to talk with one of our favorite amateur astronomers and bloggers, Bob King. Plus, he's got a new book coming out very soon. Welcome back to the Roadhouse, Bob King.
Thank you, Dave. Great to be here.
You should catch us up on what you've been up to. I see you're on the radio now.
Yes, I do every other week on KUMD, and I did a little thing on KUWS that's going to appear soon. But, yeah, I do kind of a bi-weekly update on what's happening in the night sky.
You have a great voice for radio.
Well, thank you, yeah.
And Astro Bob.
I'd like to get the message out no matter which way, whether it's through the blog or through a radio program, talking with you, because people have a natural fascination with the sky.
That's right. Retired now from a career, 39 years as a photo photographer, the photo editor at the Duluth News
mm-hmm.
Tribune. And so you are still staying busy, certainly in that education and author, a new book. We'll get to that soon, Bob. But let's talk about what's happening on Monday and the whole change of seasons. What is the autumnal equinox?
Well, when most of us are sleeping on Monday morning at 2:50 a.m., the sun will cross south over the celestial equator. At that time, it'll sit right on the equator and then begin moving south of the equator at 2:50 a.m. And that always marks the beginning of fall, the first day of fall, the autumnal equinox. And, of course, it's called equinox because at that time, across the Earth, day and night are both of approximately equal length, 12 hours and 12 hours. If you happen to be standing on the equator that day, September 23rd, Monday, you would see the sun rise due east. It would pass directly over your head, so you'd be standing in your shadow at noon, right there at the bottom of your feet, and then it would set due west. Further north, that line in the sky that the sun follows, the celestial equator, that thing is lower in the sky. So further north, like where we live, the sun's about halfway up between the overhead point and the horizon. But just like at the equator, it will rise due east and it will set due west. So, yeah, it's the first day of fall. We're getting a lot of nice color down here in Duluth. It's beginning, even without a frost. So I'm looking forward to spending some time out there in the trees and hopefully under some clear skies, too. Of course, with fall, you get a lot earlier sunsets, and it is night. My gosh, night begins now at about the time the sun used to set in the summertime, about, you know, 8:45, 9 o'clock. So that's wonderful. You can get out and observe, look at what's happening, and then get to bed a decent hour.
What should you look for, Bob? What special things are in the sky
these days? Well, yeah, there are still, you know what, the two planets, have you seen them, Dave, that have been hanging out all summer in the southern sky?
You bet.
Saturn and Jupiter are still there. Jupiter is starting to fall off, not off towards the southwest. But Saturn is still easily visible. Both of them are early in the evening, say around 7:45, 8:45, right in there, about mid-twilight. You can see them both. And then the other thing that's come back this week, it kind of does a routine fly-through every few weeks or so, but we have the space station back. It started making passes over our region again. That began like right at the beginning of this week, and it'll continue through early October. So those will be evening passes, so it's real easy to see during twilight. And I did a blog recently about how to see the space station, whether you're going to do that through email notices or just go to a website. And, of course, you can get an app for your phone. That's all there, though, on that blog from, it was like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And it's called Our Favorite Satellite, the International Space Station.
That's right. I remember discovering that when I read your first book, The Night Sky with the Naked Eye.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So you can see it with binoculars.
Oh, you can see the space station with your naked eye.
Well, but you really love
that
look.
Yeah, it is as bright as, sometimes it's as bright as Venus. It's the biggest and the brightest satellite in the night sky. It always rises in the west, and then it moves towards the south, and then it kind of sets, I guess you could say, in the eastern sky, and a complete pass takes roughly 5 minutes or so.
Wow.
And during that pass, it's just a very brilliant very steadily bright moving star in the sky. Kind of has a yellow tint to it from the heavy solar panels that are orange colored. And if you look closely, you can kind of see it's not white, and that's from the solar panels.
So I'm always amazed at how quickly those satellites and this station moves. What's the velocity on those?
Well, I mean, it varies, but the space station is a little over 17,000 miles per hour. So it's ripping when you see it. I mean, you could look at it and you go, huh, well, that looks pretty fast. But it, imagine being on it. It's 250 miles high. Yeah. So it doesn't look like it's going 17,000 miles an hour because it's pretty far away.
What?
But it is so fast that they get like 16, I believe, sunrises in 24 hours.
Wow.
So they go around the planet like about 16 times and see that many sunrises.
Talk about and premature sunset. Aging.
What was that?
Talk about premature aging.
Premature aging. I know it. Yeah, that's true. I suppose that is a lot. Of course, from there, what's really cool is that you can see, one of the things you can see with the space station, and your listeners may want to try this out, is you had mentioned binoculars. Bring binoculars with you on one of the evenings when the space station makes a pass. And if you look in advance, you can see where the sometimes during its pass, and maybe you've seen this, Dave, where the space station suddenly fades from view. It disappears.
No.
You ever seen that?
Never.
Yes, it will do that once in a while. And the reason why is because it is entering Earth's shadow, finally. It's being eclipsed by the Earth's shadow. And from the astronauts' viewpoint, as they look out and down, they are experiencing sunsets. And so the sun's rays are very low and near the horizon for them, so the space station is orange or red-colored. If you take a pair of binoculars and you look at it, just as it's entering sunset, you can actually see the color go from that pale yellow to a deep orange to almost a red. You can see sunset on the space station.
Brilliant. Oh, great, Bob. I'll definitely look for that. We're speaking with Bob King of Astro Bob fame.
That's so nice. Thank you. I'm not really famous, though.
You are on our show. You are on to our listeners, Bob. And great author. Now, the third book is out. We've had The Night Sky with the Naked Eye. That was the first one. Then it was Wonders of the Universe, You Must See Before You Die. I think we had you on for that. Now it's Urban Legends from Space. And I think I told you this off mic, but I'll tell everyone, the font, the cover on this is so authentic to those B movies from the 60s, you know, where you see the classy little UFO and the alien and the big kind of zoomed out Urban Legends from Space.
That's great. Yeah, it looks like you're going to be beamed up into the what looks like a Saturn-shaped spaceship.
I'm just watching now They Came from Outer Space, and
perfect. Yeah.
What a fascinating book, though, Bob. You demystify the biggest myths about space.
Well, I try to, and then I also try to kind of help or shed some light on some common misunderstandings about the sky or the moon. So it's kind of a mix of explaining things that's not really true. Oh, I understand. The most common one is the dark side of the moon, the fact that there is no dark side of the moon. And then the other part of the book is about some of these myths, urban myths, you could call them, about space. And I just, try to show that the facts behind some of those things. I mean, there's just so much stuff out there. There's like science fiction kind of masquerading as fact, especially at certain online sites, that you can be convinced that maybe some outrageous thing is true, like that we never landed on the moon, for instance.
Right.
So I try to explain and kind of give people some reasons to go to if they're ever confronted in that uncomfortable situation, you know, where someone is saying, we never went to the moon, and they can kind of arm themselves with just a little bit of knowledge and say, oh, yes, we did, and here's why.
Yes. Yes, indeedy. It's the scientific method at work as well. So I've got an advanced copy here, Bob. Thanks so much for providing it.
You're welcome, yeah.
But definitely digging it. And this idea that, you know, science is true whether you believe in it or not.
Yeah, it really is. And it science should not be a political thing. It's just digging up information and sharing it using the scientific method. And what people choose to do with it is fine. But science is really after the best facts. facts possible, and putting all those facts together into what you would call a theory, which is a massive thing that's just filled with many facts. So, and the book is also, there's a part in it too, just about being better observers, that we can become more skeptical of claims that are made. You know, like if someone says, yeah, well, look at this photo. This photo shows that there's an alien base on the backside of the moon. And you look at it and you go, yeah, that does look kind of peculiar. But if you become observant and pay attention to detail, you'll also notice in that photo other little blobs. And suddenly you'll realize, oh, that's just dust that got stuck to the film when the print was made. These are pictures that were taken by the Apollo astronauts as they orbited the moon. That's one example. But being observant of nature is a really important thing, because then we can be a little bit more skeptical when someone proposes a really out-of-this-world claim, let's say, when it's actually something that happens right here on Earth.
Nice. Demystified. I just love that expression. Oh, you know, Bob, we could speak for hours. I've just got a few more moments, and we got to get to this one because it was not touched on. Now, you mentioned about sounds in space.
Yeah.
And we'll just say we'll cut to the chase and say there's no air in space, so no one will hear you scream. The alien movies were right.
That's right. No one will. That's exactly right.
Bob, there's no mention of smells, and we've got a little bet going. And what do you think about? Is there smell in space?
Well, you can't really.
Thank you.
You can't really stick your nose out there without doing damage to yourself.
That's
you can't breathe in outer space.
What you
could do is take a jar, let's say, and capture some of an atmosphere of a planet. Let's say you're orbiting Jupiter or Saturn. You might be able to grab some molecules and then open it up inside. But, no, I don't really talk about smells, because that's something that you really can't do in space.
Well, apparently now, and this is according to other publications, there's some bit of a metallic when these astronauts
come back in. Yes, and that's from the suit.
It's like burnt toast, and that's from the suits.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and the station and the and
right
the
when
equipment.
You come back and you got air around you.
Thank you.
That is correct.
You're the man.
I've heard that it's just like I said. It's supposed to smell like steak.
Yeah. Well, we just don't have time for what happens when you get ejected from your pod, and that might not be for radio anyway. So,
right.
Urban Legends from Space, though, the new book by Bob King. When's it out?
The publication date is October 15th, and then I'll be signing books over at the Barnes & Noble here in Duluth. That'll happen on October 19th, and then over at Fitger's on the 27th at that bookstore.
See, you are famous.
Oh.
You're on a book tour signing books.
Well, yeah, maybe I should get one of those Neil deGrasse Tyson ties.
Yes.
You're very kind for having me. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Bob. Enjoy the equinox.
All right, and you too.
Take care.
You too. Bye.